in Jude, verse 11. Here we read, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Two parts. One, who are them? And two, what is the way of Cain? Them are identified back in verse 4 as those who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Those who have obeyed the gospel, but turned from that to live a wicked and corrupt way in denying the life that God would have them to live. In verse 5, those whom the Lord hath saved out of Egypt and then destroyed because of their unbelief. Verse 6, he refers to the angels that kept not their first estate, who are now reserved into everlasting chains of darkness. Verse 7, he speaks of the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, who had given themselves over to fornication, homosexuality. The very fact that they were, as the world calls today, gay, those are the ones that he's speaking of here. Verse 8, he speaks of filthy dreamers who defile the flesh. Those who dream and scheme in a filthy and unholy way. Who despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. That is, they speak evil of good things, glorious things, things that are praiseworthy and are good before God. Verse 10, it is those who speak evil of things that they do not know, and the things that they do know, they still speak evil of them. They corrupt themselves in every way. In summation of all of these verses, it is speaking of those who choose not to obey God. Those who are sinners, those who are not interested in good and righteous and true things, those that are not interested in salvation, they go the way of all the world. He said it's to them who have gone in the way of Cain. Well, what is the way of Cain? In Genesis 4, Adam and Eve had two sons that are named here, Cain and Abel. We know that in the course of time that Cain killed his brother Abel. And there's then where we begin to read in Genesis 4, picking up in verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. All right, here's the picture. Two brothers in the flesh. They had received instruction on how to worship. Cain did not do and did not follow the instruction he had been given. We read over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 4 that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Well, faith, what is that? Well, over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So if Abel offered by faith his sacrifice, and faith comes by hearing the word of God, there's the implication that they had been given instruction. God had told them what to do in order to worship and to offer as a sacrifice. Therefore, Abel offered that according to the instruction of God, Hebrews 11 and verse 4, what God had given him, therefore it was offered by faith. Whereas Cain did not. He chose to offer of the fruit of the ground, and therefore God accepted Abel's sacrifice because it was according to the instruction given by God, therefore by faith. And Cain's was not by faith, which simply means it was not according to the instruction of God. Cain offered his sacrifice by opinion. I don't know what went on exactly, but I do know it wasn't in accordance with God's will. He offered what he wanted to. He offered by opinion, but opinion has always been wrong. We read in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, even in the great judgment scene, the scripture says, "Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven." A lot of people are going to do things and say things they are thinking in the name of the Lord, but it's not according to the Lord's instruction. It's not according to a thus saith the Lord. In other words, it's not by faith. Because what we do, we live. Not because of my opinion or my thinking or your opinion or your thinking or anybody else's, but what we do and how we do it and when we do it and all of our life is regulated, is ruled, is governed by the Scripture. And so the way that I live by the faith of the Son of God. So there not only is my faith, my personal belief or confidence in, but my faith prompts me to live by the faith. When you read over in Jude verse 3, the faith that was once delivered unto God, or by God unto us. That is, we live by the instructions of the Bible. So God just does not leave it to me to do what I think is okay, you do what you think is okay, and though we're well-meaning in that process, that somehow or another we're going to be all right, that God will just accept any sacrifice and any worship and anything as long as people, you know, are comfortable with it and they're offering that by a genuine heart. That is not the instruction that God has given us. That's why it's incumbent upon us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. We've got to dig in the Bible and learn to do things God's way in every particular. And then our faith will be acceptable unto God, just like Abel's was, because we've done that which God gave instruction to do. So what was the way of Cain? His way was a way of vain worship. That's what it was. He worshiped God, but it was in vain. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9? That these people honoreth me with their lips and with their mouth, but their heart is far from me, but in vain, verse 9. In vain they do worship me. Why? Because they were teaching as their doctrines the commandments of men. That's what Cain was doing. Cain was following his own heart, doing his own way, doing his own thing, thinking that would be acceptable with God, but it was a way that was vain. The vain simply means useless, of no value whatsoever. So Abel followed what God told him to do. That's by faith. Cain did not. It was not by faith. And it was not according to God's instruction. Therefore, he rejected the sacrifice of Cain. So all of those who live ungodly, all of those in the world that are not going to be saved because they're not doing God's will to be saved, they are following the way of Cain. And even in the process, they may still pray to God, and they may still sing unto God, and they may assemble in religious contexts and services, but it's just like Cain. It is vain. It's useless. Because that was the process of Cain. His way was a way of vain worship. Then notice also here in Genesis chapter 4, verse 5. The way of Cain was a way of wrath. We read in verse 5, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance failed." He was wroth. What is wroth? That is angry. He was mad. He was envious. What did Cain do when he learned that his sacrifice, his worship to God, was not accepted? What did he do? Did he repent? Did he ask God to forgive him? No, that's not what he did. He was very angry. He was resentful. He did not humble himself. He did not turn to God. Instead, he just could not understand why. And so he was quite angry in the process. How many people today have that same kind of disposition? How many people today, when they learn their worship is not acceptable, what do? Do they repent? Do they turn and say, well, let's study the Bible. Let's learn God's will. Let me do right and do better. No, they resent it as well, don't they? They follow the way of Cain. Well, that's not the right attitude. That's not the right position or disposition of life. Look in verse 6 and 7. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, then sin lieth at the door. In the same principle, the same thing's true today. God tells people everywhere, look, if you do my will, you're going to be accepted. If you don't do my will, you're not going to be accepted. And in that case, sin lieth at the door, meaning that you're going to get what's coming to you. The principle over in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is the principle that has always been true. That's the very thing that God is telling Cain here in Genesis 4 and verse 6 and 7. If you do well, then everything's fine. But if you don't do well, God is making the judgment or the determination as to what is well and what's not well. What's right and what is not right. What is acceptable and what is not acceptable. But unlike the eunuch in Acts the 8th chapter, you remember the man from Ethiopia had been to Jerusalem to worship, and there God had caused Philip to meet with this man who was riding home in a chariot. And as he was given instruction by reading in Isaiah chapter 53, what was the eunuch's attitude? Was he resentful? Was he angry when he learned that his worship was not acceptable? Not at all. In that case, he was very receptive to the truth. He was thankful that when he learned his worship was not accepted and that what he was doing was not right and he needed to correct that, he said, see, look, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Why can't people be like that today? But so many times they're resentful, they become angry, just as Cain. And that's the way of Cain. It's a way that is a way of wrath. Notice again in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3, how Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. He brought what he wanted to. Again, we go back to Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing the word of God. If he didn't offer by faith, it means that he didn't do the word of God. And that's why he was rejected. We've got to guard against wrath in our own lives, don't we? It's easy to become bitter. It's easy to become, you know, discouraged. It's easy to be envious of someone else. And so many times the Bible mentions this. Galatians chapter 5 in verse 20, in a great long list of sins, violations of the Lord's will, we read among them idolatry and witchcraft. Here's the one, hatred. There are people that are filled with hatred and variance and emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. So the Bible warns against those things. Matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, the scripture says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." All right, so what is the way of Cain? Number one, it's a way of vain worship. Number two, it's a way of wrath because he did not repent and would not turn back to God, but became angry in his disposition. Then notice number three out of Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8. We learn from this passage that it was a way of murder. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Can you imagine? Cannot dream how someone could be so incensed and so angry, full of malice and wrath, with another human being, in spite of the fact that this was his own brother in the flesh, that he killed him in the process. It has always been a principle from the dawn of creation until the end of time that murder is wrong. Thou shalt not murder. That was among the commandments that, well, the Ten Commandments, that was number six. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. And that principle has always been the case. But in the New Testament, there's a little additional thought given in that regard of killing or murdering someone. And it mentions the fact of hatred, of malice or wrath. Just as we just discussed here about Cain, his way was a way of wrath, a way of malice and anger. Well, murder is connected with malice and hatred and anger. In 1 John chapter 3, we read in verse 11 and 12, "For this is the message that ye have heard of him from the beginning, that ye should love one another." Then notice this interesting comment made in verse 12. "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous." Notice the point that God makes. Here is Abel, here is Cain. Cain, it is said of him here in 1 John 3 and verse 12, that Cain's works were evil and Abel's works were righteous. How was it that Cain's works were evil? Because it was a way of vain worship. It was a way of malice and anger. It was a way of murder. It was not in accordance with the Lord's will. And what a tragedy that is. So we learn that great, great verse in verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. We must not hate one another. If there's anybody in this world, and especially someone who's a member of the church, a brother or sister in Christ, that we hate, we cannot stand, or we do not want good to come in their life, we would hope and maybe grit our teeth thinking, well, maybe they'll get what's coming to them, then the same is going to be true of us. We're not going to get to go to heaven. We'll get what's coming to us, and it won't be a pleasant thing because it'll be an eternity in a devil's hell. Look down in verse 15 of 1 John 3. "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." In God's view, hating a brother or sister in the Lord, he says, you are counted as though you have murdered them. You're the same as. And often the only difference between that kind of hatred of someone and murder itself is the opportunity to commit it. Thinking that, well, if they could get it and get away with it and nobody know and no consequences to bear, there'd probably be a lot more murders than what there are. But it's because of the fear of punishment. And particularly, we need to be mindful, not only in this world, but in that world which is to come. Because if we have that kind of hatred and malice and anger towards someone else, then God counts it as though we've already murdered them. Because that is a terrible, terrible tragedy and sin to be thought of. The way of Cain, it's a way of vain worship, a way of malice and anger and wrath. It's a way of murder. Then also, look at verse 9 of Genesis chapter 4. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? The way of Cain in this passage is a way of lying. You mean to tell me that Cain did not know where his brother was? He knew exactly where his brother was. Nothing in the text describes about him trying to dispose of the body or to hide it in some way. We would think, well, obviously, that you would, they'd want to hide it, disguise it somehow or another, but this is the first murder in recorded history. And whether he tried to hide it or disguise it or not, doesn't matter. He says, I don't know. It was a way of lying. Lying. You know, liars don't go to heaven. But isn't the world today filled with lying? What is a lie? A lie is telling something in order to deceive. In lying, there's that element of deceiving, deception. I know something, but I'm twisting and moving it around because we're deceiving. Now, among men, isn't there what's called a little white lie? We've heard that a lot of times, haven't we? Oh, that's a little white lie. As if a little white lie, so-called, is not as bad as, what, a big lie or a full-fledged lie or a black lie. When we seek to deceive, then we're lying. And the Bible tells us that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21 and verse 8. And the Bible tells us all kinds of things very similar to that. Colossians 3 and verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds. In Revelation 21 and verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. There'll be no way that anyone can enter the eternal kingdom in heaven above if they make a lie, if they're telling lies in order to deceive. Now, the good thing, if there is a good thing in that, is that people can repent. Whenever lies have been told in the past, we can get forgiveness of it. We can repent of that and straighten out to the best of our ability the damage that was done, and we can have forgiveness of it. But we can't go back and do it again. We can't go back and seeking to deceive others. Revelation 22, verse 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Isn't the world full of liars? And people have become good at it. People can look you straight in the face and lie, as we say, through their teeth, and you'd never know it. But that's what people do. But the way of Cain, it was a way of lies. And that's not the way that leads to eternal life, because the Bible condemns that in every way. The last thing we'll mention in Genesis chapter 4, look in verse 11 beginning. And here we're going to find that the way of Cain was a way that leads to eternal punishment. And now art thou cursed from the earth. Here's what God tells Cain. You are cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. The punishment of Cain that's mentioned while he was yet living was to be a stranger in the world, to live as a vagabond, as a wanderer, that everyone would know what he had done. Well, ultimately, the picture is of eternal punishment. Anyone that is refusing to learn the truth and obey the gospel, do God's will, humble themselves before God, will never go to heaven. So what is the way of Cain? It's a way that leads to eternal punishment. And that's the way so many people of the world today are going, just as fast as they can go. We find in Romans 12 and verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Wherefore it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will repay, saith the Lord. The scriptures tell us that if we're going to obey the gospel, if we're going to have forgiveness of our sins, we cannot continue to live the old way of life we've always lived. There has to be a drastic change. There has to be something that changes in our life that people could see, hey, you're not angry like you normally are. I've noticed you're not lying like you usually do. I noticed that you have changed in your life and your attitude and everything about you is different, because it is when we repent of our sins, when we obey God. Is your life the way of Cain? So many other things, obviously, we could learn from this example here in Genesis 4. Is your life a way or a life of vain worship? A way of malice and anger and hatred? Is it a way of murder? Is it a way that leads to eternal destruction? All who refuse to obey God, or who have not obeyed God, that's the way of life they're living. But there's a beautiful picture presented in the New Testament about Jesus dying on that old rugged cross, shedding his blood that men of every race, of every corner of the earth, might have a way of forgiveness. That way has been paid for by the blood of Jesus, and we are to accept that by repenting of our sins, confessing faith in Christ, being baptized into water for the forgiveness of sins. We cannot and must not live the way of Cain, because it's a way that leads to eternal destruction. This morning, if you're not a Christian, a child of God, don't have that disposition, but be open and honest, seeking the truth, obedience to the gospel, that you might be saved. If you've strayed away this morning, you can come back. God is always interested and willing for you to come back if you'll change your ways and confess that before men, that you might be restored in the house of God.